The Christmas tradition of sharing ghost stories dates back centuries, rooted in the dark, cold nights of winter when families gathered around the fire. Before the advent of modern holiday cheer, Victorian-era festivities often included spine-chilling tales of the supernatural. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is the most famous example, blending holiday spirit with ghostly warnings. The practice reminds us that Christmas isn't just about joy. It's also a time to reflect on the past, confront fears, and embrace the mysteries of life and death. A chilling tale by the hearth might just make your holidays even brighter. So, in the spirit of Christmas traditions, today I will be sharing some holiday-themed paranormal pen pal stories. If you have a paranormal story you want shared on the podcast, you can send those to unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. So, get cozy next to a fire and prepare to hear some of the most chilling parapal stories ever shared. This first story is titled The Christmas UFO Over the Farm, submitted by listener named Jack. He writes, "Hi, I've never told this story to anyone outside my family, but I figured if anyone would appreciate it, it's your listeners. This happened on Christmas night about 15 years ago when I was staying at my grandparents' farm in Kansas. It was one of those bitterly cold nights and the sky was perfectly clear. My younger brother, Sam, and I decided to step outside after dinner to stargaze. We bundled up in our coats, grabbed a flashlight, and trudged out to the edge of the pasture, far away from the house lights. At first, it was beautiful, just an endless sea of stars. We even saw a couple of shooting stars. Then, something strange happened. A light appeared in the sky. It wasn't like a star or a plane. It was too big, too bright, and it moved wrong. It hovered in place for a moment, then started gliding in a perfectly straight line, much slower than any plane I'd ever seen. It didn't blink like an airplane light, either. It was a solid, steady glow, almost like a giant white orb. We both watched it in silence, unsure of what we were seeing. Then, without warning, it stopped dead in the sky. I mean, stopped. That's when we started getting nervous. "Is that a drone?" Sam whispered, but I could hear the fear in his voice. Before I could answer, the light split into three smaller lights. They formed a perfect triangle in the sky. And then, just as suddenly as it split, it started spinning. Not like an airplane banking or a helicopter hovering, but a weird mechanical rotation that didn't look natural. Sam grabbed my arm, stating we should go back. We started walking quickly towards the house, but the lights followed us. They moved silently, almost gracefully, keeping pace with us as we stumbled through the snow. At one point, I turned around and flashed my flashlight at them, as if it would scare them off. Instead, the lights blinked once, twice, three times, in perfect rhythm. And then they stopped moving entirely. For a brief moment, everything was dead silent. No wind, no rustling trees, nothing. Then a high-pitched hum filled the air. It wasn't loud, but it was everywhere. I could feel it vibrating on my chest, like the sound was coming from inside of me. The lights suddenly shot straight up into the sky, faster than anything I've ever seen. Within seconds, they were gone, leaving the sky as empty as it had been before. When we got back to the house, Sam and I tried to tell our parents what happened, but they just laughed and said that we were making it up. My grandma, though, pulled me aside later and said something that still gives me chills. "You're not the first ones to see lights like that out here. They've been around for years." She wouldn't elaborate, and I didn't push her. To this day, I don't know what we saw that night. A government experiment, a UFO. All I know is that it felt like whatever it was knew we were there, and it was watching us as much as we were watching it. Thanks for letting me share my story, Jack. Well, Jack, I have to say that I am convinced that you saw a UFO. I don't think that it was the government. And I would love to know if you're able to capture any more sightings if you do decide to go back out there. This next story is from a listener named Wendy. She writes, "I have a real short one. My house has always been a little haunted, and I've either heard voices or things being moved about. One unusual thing happened. I have this little frame with leaves and feathers and nature in it, and I sat down in front of it one day, and this little frame had started to rattle. But you have to pick it up and literally shake it for the back of it to move against the stand itself. And I looked over, and it rattled. They kept rattling. And then stopped. I didn't know what to do at the point. And I reached over and I literally had to pick it up to see if it would move on its own or get caught by wind to make the noise. But no, you have to literally pick it up and shake it hard to make it go back against the stand. So something had picked that thing up and rattled it and then set it down in front of me. I have also had a man clear his throat, and I have also had a woman say hello. And hey, clearly at 2 or 3 in the morning. And there's no way that anybody can get into my room at night. I recently bought a small high-quality recorder. I have thought about what is connecting the contents of the frame, and I can't think of anything specific that would be connected to the frame and its contents. It's a small 3x3 frame with some feathers and a leaf that has a really neat design on it. The only thing that is connected to the feathers is cats that has played with the feathers, but I don't know how they would or why they would shake the frame. So I'm thinking that it's just the entity just trying to get my attention. I'm going to record when it's really quiet one night or when I'm gone. I'd be interested in what I will capture. I'm sure I will capture something because, like I said, I've literally heard a woman and a man. Once I remember putting away my laundry and I was by myself and I felt something kind of pinch a little part of my waist. It was really odd and kind of funny." Well, Wendy, I feel like I agree that whoever is at your home is obviously trying to get your attention, especially if they're making rattling noises and even going out of the way to touch you. That's a little frightening knowing that you could be touched. So if you have any other experiences, don't forget to update us here at the podcast. All right. This next story is called "The Christmas Spirit That Followed Us." Rachel writes, "Hi, I am a big fan of your podcast, and I wanted to share something that happened to me and my husband a few years ago. It's not the kind of Christmas story you tell to kids. We had just moved into a little rental cabin in the mountains to spend Christmas away from the city. It was one of those picture-perfect places with a stone fireplace, big windows overlooking the woods, and a little loft bedroom. It was supposed to be our romantic escape. The first night, everything was fine. We decorated a small tree we brought with us, sipped hot cocoa, and watched the snowfall. But by the second night, strange things started happening. It began with the Christmas lights on the tree. They started flickering, but not randomly. It was rhythmic, almost like they were blinking in some kind of pattern. My husband, Dan, joked that it was Morse code from Santa, but I didn't find it funny. Then we started hearing noises. Soft footsteps upstairs in the loft where we were both sitting by the fire. A faint knock on the cabin door, even though no one was outside. The weirdest thing happened on Christmas Eve. We'd gone to bed early, and I woke up around 3 a.m. feeling like someone was watching us. I looked over and saw Dan sleeping soundly. But when I glanced towards the tree downstairs, I froze. A figure standing next to it. It was tall and thin, draped in what looked like a tattered black cloak. Its head was tilted to the side, and its face, if you could call it that, was pale and blurry, like a smudge on glass. It was holding one of our ornaments, a little wooden reindeer. I couldn't move. I wanted to scream, but the air felt thick, like it was pressing down on me. The figure slowly turns its head towards me, and I swear I heard a raspy whisper.
"Not yours."
Suddenly, the ornament fell from its hand and shattered on the floor. The sound must have woken Dan because he sat up. And when I looked back, the figure was gone. We spent the rest of the night in the car. The next morning, we returned to grab our things and leave for good. That's when we noticed something chilling. Under the tree, there was a small wrapped gift that neither of us had put there. We didn't open it. We didn't take it. We just left. I've always wondered, though, who or what that figure was and what was in the box. A part of me is glad I don't know, but I still get chills every time I think about it. Thanks for letting me share my story, Rachel. Rachel, I think everyone would agree with me when saying that I don't blame you guys for packing up and leaving. I am, however, curious as to what was inside of the box. I don't think I would have been able to not open it. My curiosity would definitely get the best of me. This next story is written by a man named David. He writes, "The house I grew up in was haunted by an elderly, bald-headed man. I saw him once. That's how I know. I had just turned out the lights to the house and had already unplugged the Christmas tree lights. As I went up the steps to the second floor, those tree lights came back on. I calmly said, 'Dad says having those lights on too much dries out the tree faster. So please unplug it when you're done.' And then the lights went back out." And David, I find it interesting that whoever that man was decided to listen and unplug the lights to ensure that your tree didn't dry out. I feel like it would have been too much of a coincidence that the lights just turned on and turned off right as you said that. This next story comes from a person named Jesse. They write, "For some reason where we live, paranormal spikes up really bad in our house around Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have that same malevolent spirit or spirits that come back during that time and likes to move things and play tricks on us. I know it's malevolent because whenever one of us is angry, that's when it strikes. I was really upset with my brother when I went into the bathroom and I heard the door jiggle. And then something flew off the counter in front of me. And just lots of stuff. My mom saw a sewing roll roll back and forth in front of her face when she was alone in the bathroom, deliberately. We've also heard voices and footsteps. Our household is not perfect at all. Plenty of negative energy up in here. And this whole area is haunted. There's been battles right in the neighborhood we live. World War II and battles between Native Americans and the French. There's even Native American mounds about 15 minutes from where I live. I feel like a lot of the negative spirits hate Christmas, so they come out to try to ruin it or something. It's just so much worse around this time of year, or stronger. And Jesse, I do feel that it's really interesting that this happens around the holidays, because typically that's the time where family is together and gathering, and there's more people, there's more energies, there's more personalities, and more than likely more conflict. And if it happens more with anger, it sounds almost like poltergeist activity, like it's your energy that's feeding the activity. This next story was submitted by Emily. The subject is My Christmas Eve Haunting. She writes, "Hi, I'm new to your podcast and would love to share a story with you. It happened on Christmas Eve a few years ago, and to this day I can't explain it. I grew up in a small town where everyone knew each other, and during the holidays, the whole town would light up with decorations. My family home was no exception. We had string lights in the porch, a big wreath on the door, and a glowing Santa Claus in the front yard. That year, my parents went out of town to visit my grandmother, leaving me, I was 18 at the time, to house it and to keep an eye on her golden retriever, Max. I didn't mind being alone. It gave me a chance to wrap gifts and binge watch Christmas movies. Around 11 p.m., I let Max out into the backyard one last time. It was snowing lightly, and everything was so quiet. As I waited for him to come back inside, I noticed something odd. Footprints in the snow leading up to our back door. They hadn't been there earlier in the evening. They were small, like a child's, and looked fresh. They stopped just outside the door. My heart started racing because, as far as I knew, no one had been in our yard. I looked around for Max, but he was standing frozen at the edge of the yard, staring at something I couldn't see. Max, I called. He didn't move. That's when I heard it. A faint humming. It was coming from behind me, inside the house. I spun around so fast I almost slipped. The kitchen light was off. I knew I'd left it on. And the air just felt colder. I stepped inside cautiously, locking the door behind me. The humming stopped. But the house didn't feel empty anymore. I turned the corner into the living room, and that's when I saw it. A little girl sitting cross-legged in front of our Christmas tree. She was dressed in an old-fashioned nightgown. Her hair hung in long, matted strands over her face. She didn't look up, just kept humming a sad, eerie tune. I froze. My mind was racing. I knew I should say something, but my voice caught in my throat. Then, as if sensing me, she stopped humming and slowly turned her head. Her eyes, dark, hollow pits, looked into mine. She opened her mouth as if to scream, but no sound came out. Instead, every light in the house flickered. I don't remember much after that. I must have blacked out, because I realized that Max was nudging me. It was as if nothing had happened. But one of the ornaments, a small porcelain angel my mom cherished, was shattered on the floor. I spent the rest of the night at a friend's house, too scared to go back. When my parents returned, I told them what happened. My mom went pale and said something I will never forget. That sounds like Lily. Apparently, Lily was a girl who had lived in our house in the 1930s. She died on Christmas Eve after falling down the stairs while trying to sneak a peek at her presence. My mom said that she heard rumors of strange things happening around Christmas, but never believed them. Now I'm not so sure. Thanks for reading my story. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you share it on the podcast. Emily. Well, Emily, I would have to say that I would be really spooked if I did see a child apparition. But as much as I would be spooked, I think I also just would be really, really sad. Because when you think about it, it's just a child's spirit who never got to open up her presents on that Christmas. And she's probably just really curious as to what's in the presents under the tree. Perhaps she thinks it's her presents. She could be reliving that moment. And it spikes up on Christmas because that's when the presents are there. It's a very, very, very sad story to hear that. I think that maybe what you should do is, I mean, I would do this. I would leave a present for Lily, but I would leave it unwrapped so she would get to see it. Or announce when you're opening the gift that this is for her. Just something special just for her, so she knows that she's remembered and thought of. I don't know if any listeners have any other thoughts or any suggestions, but that's just coming from me personally. I would love to hear the thoughts of everyone else. This last story is titled, Did I Jump Timelines on Christmas Eve? This person writes, I've never been able to explain what happened to me on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, but it still makes me feel like reality is bendable. I don't know if this is a paranormal story, but I think that you might find it interesting. My family has this tradition of gathering at my grandparents' house every Christmas Eve. It's always cozy and predictable. We exchange gifts, eat my grandmother's homemade cinnamon rolls, and sit by a fire telling stories. That night, everything seemed normal, until it didn't. Around 9 p.m., I offered to help my grandma in the kitchen while everyone else was playing board games in the living room. I carried in a stack of empty mugs from the coffee table and set them on the counter. That's when it happened. For a split second, it felt like the world blinked. It's hard to describe. Almost like someone hit pause and rewind on reality. The light in the kitchen flickered, and I felt this odd, weightless sensation, like stepping off of a curb you didn't see. The next thing I knew, I was back in the living room sitting on the couch. It wasn't just deja vu. I knew I had already gone to the kitchen. But here I was again, holding the empty mugs in my lap. My family was exactly as I left them. Dad laughing at one of Uncle Tom's jokes. My cousin Sarah reaching for the dice. I stood up confused and made my way back to the kitchen. This time, the mugs didn't feel right in my hands. They were hot, like they'd just come out of the dishwasher. When I sat them on the counter, I noticed something else. There were already mugs there, stacked in the exact way I had just stacked them. I froze. My grandmother looked up from the sink and asked me if I could grab the cinnamon rolls from the oven. I turned to the oven, but when I opened it, the tray was gone. The rolls were already on the table in the dining room, half eaten by my cousins. I didn't say anything to my family about what I experienced. It felt unsteady, like I wasn't supposed to notice whatever happened. I made it through the rest of the night, but little things kept nagging at me. My dad told the same joke again, word for word, with the same laugh from my Uncle Tom. Sarah asked me the same question about the rules of the board game that she had asked earlier on. It felt like a loop, but only I was aware of it. The next morning, Christmas Day, I woke up at home and felt normal. I've spent 2 years trying to figure out what had happened. Did I somehow just relive a moment? Did I jump a timeline? Did I see into the future? Or was I briefly aware of something that I was not supposed to? Whatever it was, it made me question how solid our reality really is. Thanks for reading. I'd love to hear if anyone else has any experiences similar to this. Clara. Well, Clara, I don't think I've ever heard a story like this before. I wouldn't even know where to begin to provide comments about this, except for, to me, I wonder if perhaps you had a glimpse into the future, and perhaps there were just more coffee mugs than you thought, or maybe you really did just dump a timeline. I don't know. This is probably one of the strangest stories that I've ever heard from anyone before. I would love to really hear what the listeners have to think about this one. And that concludes the holiday special Parapals episode. Before we end the podcast, I do want to share that I do have a merchandise store that is up, and it's available for everyone to take a peek at. There's some pretty great merchandise on there. If you are a Bigfoot or alien lover, or just a fan of the paranormal in general, there's a lot of great things for just about anyone. Some really fun designs, so be sure you check that out. And be sure you never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is independently produced, and sharing it with friends, family, and your favorite coworker helps me immensely. And don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to join in and become a paranormal pen pal to have your story shared on a Parapals episode, you can email your story to unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. Stay tuned for season 2, where we will venture further into the realms of the paranormal. Until next time, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.